Welcome to the podcast of Lancaster Brethren in Christ Church, located in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. LBIC is a community being transformed by the love of Jesus, sharing this love with all people. We want this podcast to be an extension of our community and a connection with familiar voices. Together, we want to think about how to follow Jesus in our particular moment. So enjoy the podcast. We're grateful to have you join us as a part of the LBIC family.
Christ is risen. I know that's the greeting that we give on Easter Sunday morning, but it really isn't any less true today than it was a week ago, is it? No. I have to admit that sometimes I get a little bothered by the way we move from one holiday right into the next. Last week it was festive. We sang the Hallelujah chorus. We gave out flowers. I wasn't even wearing jeans. And Pastor Joshua reminded us, that's a big deal. Pastor Joshua reminded us that the resurrection, when we believe it, it impacts the way that we live. But that was last week. For some of us, the candy is all eaten, the tulips have been planted, whatever we put out of our life during Lent, we've allowed back into our lives. The ceramic bunnies and plastic eggs have been put back in the storage bin, only to be brought out in another 11 months. But if you would indulge me, I would like to visit the resurrection story again this morning. You see, when we look at the liturgical calendar, Easter is much more than one Sunday. There's actually six Sundays from Easter Sunday all the way through to Pentecost. And I think we forget sometimes that Jesus walked on this earth for 40 days before he ascended back into heaven. And then it was another 10 days until Pentecost. I'm not sure how Easter was truly celebrated in the years of when the early church was being formed. But in some ways for us, it has evolved into a once-and-done celebratory day. But if this resurrection is as significant as Pastor Joshua pointed out last week, and we believe that to be true, then I think it's okay for us to spend a little bit more time looking at the resurrection of Jesus. More specifically, last week in Joshua's message, he said, in light of the resurrection, we need to live now as we will live for eternity. It's one of those statements when you hear it, you nod your head in agreement. But what actually does that really mean? As I thought about it, I decided the first thing I needed to do was go back and listen to his sermon again from last week. And I'm sure most of you remember exactly what he said, but just in case you forget a little bit of it, I'm going to repeat it again for you, a part of it this morning. Don't worry, I'm not repeating the whole sermon. We need to live, this is what Joshua said, we need to live in the reality that sin is defeated and to live in communion with God, live life with God in relationship with the living Jesus. We need to not just pray for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, but we need to be willing to live that out, which means things like the last shall be first, blessing our enemies, living in unity and diversity, encouraging love and good deeds. I think you get the picture. We need to live the way that Jesus lived, the way the living Jesus lived, not let sin rule in our life, and be in relationship with Jesus. And that actually brings us to the first of two of the lectionary passages that I want to look at for a few minutes this morning. The first is the one that Joshua already read as we heard about the post-resurrection church. And I think it's easy to read that passage and to write it off as some kind of hippie-like communal living, and that's not for us. Or maybe you view it a little more politically and you see it as socialism, and that doesn't interest you either. So you read that and you say, yeah, but those were different times, or it just isn't practical for us today. And we kind of breeze over that passage, seeing it as some first century idealism that we can never attain, even if we wanted to. But as we look at it more closely, I think there are demonstrations of resurrection living that we can take as an example of how we live today. Verse 32 says so much. Listen to these words again. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. First, we see that the believers were of one heart and mind. N.T. Wright points out, no doubt there is always a call to try to think alike with one another, to reach a deep, heart-level agreement on all key matters. But the early Christians, being Jews, did not make as sharp a distinction as we do between the heart and mind on one hand and practical life on the other. Being of one heart and soul is, in this passage, seems to mean not just agreeing on all disputed matters, but also ready to regard each other's needs as one's own. Again, not just agreeing on all disputed matters, but also ready to regard each other's needs as one's own. And so when you are at a point in which you recognize that what you have may benefit or meet the need of someone else, your mindset changes. So you're willing to part with your material possessions for the betterment of those around you. Sharing is now not about what you have versus what they have. It's about regarding your needs as my needs, my possessions as your possessions. And if we took that a little bit further, what if we didn't just care about our possessions? What about our time, our talents, and our abilities to serve others? None of us are naive enough to think that most people's problems will be solved with money or possessions. But giving what we have is a lot more about being present and caring for the emotional and personal needs of another. In fact, that may be a lot more generous than just giving out of our abundance. I think it's also important to note that one heart and one mind does not mean we're all the same, but we can find unity in our diversity. Together as one body, we can be unified in mission and value and purpose. As one commentator pointed out, since this passage is one of three in the early chapters of Acts in which Luke describes this type of living, Luke is reminding us that the mission of the church is rooted in and grows out of a fundamental imperative to care for one another. So here we see that being of one heart and one mind and sharing in possessions is not two separate acts, but it's one act that is a reflection of the other. Another thing to notice is they testify to the resurrection of Jesus. I think for some of us who are a little bit more introverted, we hear that and we think, oh, that means we need to be street evangelists or we need to share the gospel with every person we know who doesn't know Jesus, and that kind of freaks us out. I do think that most of us probably need to step it up a little bit in the amount of time that we do spend sharing our faith with those who don't know Jesus. But if you remember what Joshua said, he said we need to live life with Jesus, and that means to be in a relationship with an actual person, Jesus, who is God with us. So what if we actually talked about that more continually? What if we actually talked a little bit more freely to the resurrection life we are experiencing? Let me give you an example. Just the other day, my husband Mike and I were with some friends who are faithful, committed followers of Jesus. We were talking about something, and I have absolutely no idea what it was. But as we were talking, it reminded me of something that I had just been reading in my Bible or something I had been praying about, and it was connected to what we were talking about. But instead of just saying it, I had to buffer it. I said, I don't want to get too spiritual, but, and then I shared what I had to say. Why couldn't I just outright say that without having to buffer it a little bit? I think that's testifying to the resurrection of Jesus, and it's what we need to do more of. It may be sharing our faith of who we know Christ to be with others who don't know Jesus, but it also may just be about speaking about what he's doing, what he's teaching, what he's growing in our lives. Testify to the fact that we have a relationship with the living Jesus, an actual person, and how that impacts our lives. Okay, we're going to change course just a little bit, and we're going to go to the other passage, which is 1 John chapter 1. This is a little bit long. It may be a little bit wordy, but just stick with me, and we'll get through it, okay? 1 John chapter 1, starting at verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Before we go too far into this passage, I want to talk about why Jesus is sharing this message. He and others had the privilege of seeing and knowing Jesus, and he wants everyone to experience the same joy that he has in knowing Jesus. Kind of like if you eat something that is absolutely scrumptious, and you say to everyone around you, oh, this is delicious, this is so good, do you want a bite? This is so good. You've just had this delight in eating this food, and you want to share that with those around you. Well, multiply that a gazillion times over, and that's what John is talking about. He wants his readers to experience the joy of fellowship with others who know Jesus and fellowship with the Father and the Son. From there, John goes on to teach about who God is and our attitude towards sin and how those two things impact each other, how our attitude about sin impacts our fellowship with God and with others. Just for clarification, when John talks about dark or darkness, he's talking about sin, being out of communion or out of relationship with God. When he talks about light, he's talking about living with Jesus, walking with Jesus, being in communion with God. So John points out three incorrect attitudes about sin. We say that we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness. We say we have no sin. We say that we have not sinned. All three of those statements are wrong. When we say any of those, we lie, we deceive ourselves, and as John says, we make God to be a liar. So in a nutshell, we need to admit that we sin. Joshua said last week that we need to live in the reality that sin is defeated, but that does not mean we deny its existence. But there's more to this passage than just that, and we see that there's a counterposition to each one of those inaccurate statements about sin. It's not just about admitting that we have sin in our lives. If we say we have fellowship with God and sin at the same time, we lie. But if we walk in the light, then we do have fellowship with one another and we can be cleansed from this sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. But if we confess, we will be cleansed and forgiven. If we say we have not sinned, we make God a liar. But if we do sin and admit when we sin, we have the advocate in Jesus before the Father. Saying we do not sin breaks relationship with God. In admitting we do sin, we can receive grace and be in relationship with the Father. When we say we walk in the light, it does not mean we walk in perfection. We will never attain a sinless life. Walking is a forward movement toward that light, walking towards God. Not to say that we won't slip and fall, of course we will. But this is where our attitude matters. When we sin, we admit it, we confess it, we receive grace, and we can continue to move toward the light. God is light. When we are walking toward him, we are walking in light. When we're not walking toward him, we're walking away. And walking away from light causes a shadow, which is walking in darkness. What John is saying is you can't walk both ways at the same time. You just can't do it. When we're walking in darkness, we deny that we sin and we claim to be free of sin. For when we do that, we not only are lying to ourselves, lying to others, but we're denying who God is the only one who is truly holy. And we cannot deny the very nature of God and be in relationship with him at the same time. We also cannot be in fellowship with other believers, in true fellowship. Think about it. If we're walking in opposite directions, we can't be in true fellowship. And this is kind of where it comes full circle. Remember, John is giving this teaching about our attitude towards sin so that we can be in relationship with God in the form of his son, Jesus. As Joshua said, living now, we will live forever. Living now like we will live forever is to be in relationship with the living, resurrected Jesus. Which takes me back to the Easter story. While each of the Gospels tells the story a little bit differently, the one that really moves me is found in John chapter 20, verses 11 to 18. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head, the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They've taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they've put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking it was he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put his body and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned to him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I've not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I've seen the Lord." And she told them that what he had said, she told them that he had said these things to her. There's something about the encounter between Mary and Jesus that I believe reflects the relationship that Jesus desires for us to have as we live in the resurrection of Jesus. Mary's panicking. She doesn't know where Jesus is. I see her frantically crying and asking whoever she bumps into, "Have you seen where they put his body? Help! Help!" But then he says her name, Mary. Like no one else has ever said her name. Like only the one who created and knows her could say her name. And in that moment, everything changes. She knows who he is, and she tells the disciples, "I have seen the Lord. I have seen my Lord." Friends, as we continue to live in the resurrection of Jesus, it's about living missionally, living in unity with others, regarding the needs of others as highly as our own, testifying about the work of Jesus in our lives, having the appropriate attitude towards sin, willing to admit it's in our lives, seeking to confess and live in light so that we can have fellowship with other believers and with Jesus, our risen Savior and Lord. As we think about how to live in light of the resurrection, I think we went about it all backward today. Because I wonder if, when we know Jesus so well, that when he calls our name, we know it is our Lord, if that would not give us much more ability to live now as we will for eternity. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that you desire to call our names in such a way that we hear you and we know you are our Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your resurrection. We thank you for what that means to us, that we have the ability to make a mistake, to sin, to confess, and you are the advocate for us before the Father. We thank you for the demonstration of love that is. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to continue to live in the light of your resurrection. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.